The thought was, in that message that I thought for ourselves, was that rally folk are always very, very busy. They're as busy as everybody else, and they've also got a rally to run. And it's always a very demanding kind of program, and busyness often is one of our problems. This has got nothing to do with the subject that we're talking about, just us for a moment. And the Lord Jesus, if anybody was busy, it had to be the Lord Jesus. He had 3 and a little bit years to do what he came to do in. And that's a very short space of time. When you think of the disciples, they really weren't a very marvelous bunch. Peter was always tripping over his lip, Thomas was always doubting, Judas was a traitor, and so on. They all had their weaknesses and difficulties, but the Lord Jesus never ever seemed to be in a hurry. He never seemed to be in a rush. You never hear of him running, hastening, dashing, and he always seems to have time. And this is one of those occasions when it seemed as if the crowd didn't think he had time. I mean, not time for children. I mean, adults, yes, but children. In that culture, you only had children and adults. Teenagers really only came in the last 100 years, as far as our culture is concerned, which is why we have lots of problems. Most of us have bred some, and we're still trying to find out how to handle them. And some of them are there, aren't they? And we're still trying to find out how to handle you. Anyway, the Lord Jesus was busy, but never too busy. And as you know, the mothers brought their children to the Lord Jesus. And that was a natural thing to do. They wanted the Lord Jesus to bless their children. And that's a very normal thing for any mother that's got any spiritual insight. And the disciples drove them away. And Jesus said, suffer them to come to me. And if I understand the text right, it doesn't look that way here. It looks as if he just put his arms around all of them. But I think if you look in somewhere like Luke's text, you'll find that he actually took each child individually, placed that child on his knee, and blessed that individual child. And took another child and blessed it. He took each particular one and blessed each child that was brought to him. He had time for each individual child. And I think in all the work that we do together, all the rally work we're involved in, it's to make sure that we always have time in whatever we do for our work. Now, the first thing we're thinking about is, whoops, I'll just fall over it, is, now I've dropped it. This was the plague of my life. However, we'll start again. The poor guy there with the headphones on has just lost his eardrums, but never mind. All right, motivating people in regard to leadership. And I guess the thought behind this subject was, we need more leaders. And wherever you go, it's the same cry, whether it's into rallies, whether it's into the scouting profession, into youth camps, or anywhere you go, the cry is for more leaders. Sometimes senior leaders, sometimes junior leaders, assistant leaders, cadet leaders, and the like. The first thing that I was thinking of is the tremendous importance for the public image of rally to be good. I go along to a lot of rallies because it's just one of the things that I do. And sometimes I sit there in New Zealand ashamed of the program that's put on. And I often sit there thinking, if only the rally folk could have sat down and thought it through and got a program and put it together. I mean, the classic has to be, for me anyway, in my experience, was to go down to a special rally program in Wellington. If ever the people in Wellington hear this tape, God bless you. I live in Matamata, which is about 300 or 400 miles north of Wellington. It's a long way. And I was to go there to speak for 45 minutes at a combined rally leaders, parents, elders, you name it, they were supposed to be there. It was a very large venue, and they were there. Busloads had come for this thing. It was in regard to the first Arura in New Zealand, and we were trying to get everybody interested, leaders, ordinary assembly people, you know, the mere mortals of the crowd, and of course parents who were going to pay the money for the kids to come. And it was a tremendous crowd of people. And I was told, Malcolm, whatever you do, you finish at 9:45. Now, that's the deadline. We've got buses to get away. We've got people coming. It's a big deal. 9:45 is the deadline. Whatever you do, you mustn't go over 9:45. And this was told to me many times by 9:45. I got the message through my thick brain. 9:45 it is. Well, we had a song leader. May have been more flamboyant than our one today, but certainly not as spiritual, because he was just there, it seemed, to show how good a song leader he was. And he went on and on and on and on, and it got to somewhere around about 8:20. And then they had things about the rally movement, and somebody spoke about that. Then they had a rally panel, and that went on, and I watched the time. It was now 9:00. Was now 9:15. I'd now got 30 minutes, not 3/4. So I shaved a few things off my message. It didn't matter. It got to 9:30. I thought, I got 15 minutes. This is going to be a real blitz. It got to 9:55. And I thought, I've got 10 minutes. And by now I was putting lines through my message and beginning to panic a little bit. It got to 9:22. Eventually, I was introduced at 16 minutes to. I had a minute. I had traveled 350 miles for a minute. They had asked me, by the way, to conclude the evening in prayer when I'd finished speaking. Now, there's a verse in the Bible I've always wanted to read, and I couldn't resist it. I got up and said, well, we only have 1 minute now. Nobody said, well, go on, you know, take a few more minutes. Nobody said that, so obviously they didn't tell me to. I said, well, it's just a minute to go. There's a verse in the scriptures I'd like to read with you, and it's in the Gospel of Luke, and it says, all that were before me are thieves and robbers. Let's close in prayer. And so I prayed. Now, either, you know, I'm a fantastic prayer or something. I mean, they took me 350 miles to close in prayer. But it was, the reason for the illustration really is to show you how badly people can do things. Do you know, I would imagine that evening did more damage for the image of the rally movement in that part of the North Island, the southern part of the North Island, than any one other thing that I can think about. They were just muddling around, messing about, no program, no time, chairman drifted on, and there we had. Now, I'm not suggesting I was a good speaker, that would be dumb, but I happened to be the visiting speaker they'd got. The speaker never spoke. He just closed in prayer, and we all went home, and I got in my car very early the next morning, and drove up. I drove all that way, 600 and something miles, what is it, almost 700 miles, just to close in prayer. Tremendous prayer. I mean, you've got a real spiritual guy here. Terrible thing. I've sometimes been to rally church parades, when the rally really is on show in front of the rest of the church. And often, no one's in uniform. That's a pity. Now, I believe with all my heart the uniform is important. And because I was doing the Pennant Hills deal and only had one program, I still put my uniform in, lugged it all the way across, or the air flight did, because we were performing as a rally organization. So I shoved it in my case, because I believe in that. Now, this is not a boast, but people come to me and say, you can't get people in uniform. I would say nonsense. My wife and I ran 5 rallies a week. I did 3, she did 2. She helped me, I helped her. That's beside the point. They were around about 70 kids in each rally. That's a lot of kids. It was in a housing area. That's a government housing area. Blocks of flats held together with sellotape. They were tough kids. They were hard kids. They were poor because the folk boozed most of it and got rid of it. Every single child was in uniform. Now, if you want to talk about how we did it, I'm happy to do that, but that's not the subject today. The point is, it can be done. It's not difficult. You can do it. But then you go to the rally where the children are in uniform and the leader isn't. And I get disappointed. The leader has got a shirt on, a rally shirt, but then he blows it. He has a pair of, in our outfit, it's pretty well the same as that, except it's a white shirt and blue stripes. All right, and sort of grey socks and black shoes. That's basically it, or a jacket, if you like. And the guy's got his shirt, and he has grey strides that could have done with a good iron. He has a pair of socks and brown shoes, and he's conducting the program. And he looks absolutely disastrous. Now that guy can't tell me he can't afford it. He can afford it. The trouble is, he doesn't consider it important enough to afford it. We can afford what we want to buy. We can always find the money for the things we believe in. And sometimes, I was at a rally a while ago, and really it was quite sad, because the girls were immaculate, and usually the girls will set the tone. And it was fantastic. The girls were so beautifully set out, and the boys straggled in, and the leader was a disaster. And because, I was going to say because the brethren teach it, but biblically, men take the lead. We had these lovely ladies sitting there in their full uniform, and this man leader taking the service. And it was abysmal. I had to be the speaker. And I was embarrassed for the parents who came. The image to the rest of the church was so bad. I mean, the image to the parents, that's not what we're talking about at the moment. We're talking about getting leaders from within the church. And if we don't reach a good image that is attractive to young men and women, then they're never going to want to be involved. If it's just a bunch of folk fooling around in the back room for a couple of hours, and if that's their church parade, and it doesn't really take much to put it together. Lots of things that affect the image of rally in many, many ways. And of course, a church parade is one of them. Rally parents' evenings are another. And I want to spend some time, maybe the next session, and certainly tonight, talking briefly about that Pennant Hills thing that I went to, which in my estimation, was 100%. It was 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100. It was marvellous. Not only was it produced well, in every sense, but the assembly were totally involved, from the young people that served the meal to the rally kids that put on the program. It was a total assembly thing. And no one looking at that could help but be impressed and say, this is something I would like to belong to. So that's one of the things, the image that we have. Somehow we have to develop an aggressive public relations with the assembly and with society. Obviously with the assembly. And it's important that the rally is seen by the assembly as often as we can. I know that some of us do it when we have a rally, say Father's Night, and we're scared that some of the dads won't turn up, so we get lots of assembly dads to come along to take the place and be a sort of a dad for the night. Now they all love it once you get them there, and the program has to be good. I was at an evening like that a while ago that was a marvellous public image, really, for the rally in regard to this sort of thing. It was a church family night. It was a night for the rally boys. It was a boys' night for all the dads. And lots of fathers from the church came, and that was good. And most of the parents of the boys came, and that was good. But the evening was absolutely sparkling. And one of the things they did, which every man is interested in, but he'll never admit it, and they had a guy that was an expert in carving meat, and they had different kinds of meat, like cutting up a roast, which nobody can ever make a good job of, and carving up a turkey, and how to do it properly. Carving up a chicken, and how to make it look like you see on the ads and get all those slices off it, corned beef and so on. And they had numerous different types of meat, how to select them, how to cook them, how to carve them, how to serve them. They were all hot when they were cut up, and they were all served to everybody there as hot meat in very, very fresh bread. That was just one part of the thing, but it was so well done, and it was really quite magnificent. The girls' rally that I had to be a speaker at, one of these other ones, was a Hawaiian evening they put on. The whole place looked like, we had palm leaves and some of the girls that were serving hula girls, they would never ask me to be a hula girl. But the work they'd gone to, they had all sorts of different types of cheeses and crackers, and it was an amazing evening. Absolutely fantastic. And the problem is, you either have an evening that good, or you have a disaster. And the difficulty is the evening worth all the effort? Is the church parade worth all the effort? Now, is it really worth it? Do we need to do it? I'm not suggesting these acetates are any good. I'm not very good with my printing. This one here took me an hour and a bit to do. Now, I could say all this just as easy to you. I'm hoping the visual aid helps. Now, if I'd had more time and more skills, it could have been better still. But for us, that's the best I could do with the time and ability allowed. And I think we've always got to think this way. When we finish a program, was that program the best program that we could produce with the time allowed, the money we could spend, and the skills we had at our disposal? Was that the best we could do? Or if we're really honest, could we have done an awful lot better? So our public image to the church is important. And I don't know about you, but I guess you'd be further ahead than we are in New Zealand. But most assemblies in New Zealand have a monthly booklet. And ours is amazing. We've got two sisters, and they're super sisters. They really are. One's got a real flair for poetry and art, and the other one does all the research and gets all the stuff. I think it's sometimes about 20 pages. Everybody wants the book. We've got a staff of about 16, and we always bring a handful back. They don't all get to the Lord's Supper the morning it's out. But, you know, they're all gone. We wouldn't do for one a family. You know, husband takes one, wife takes one. Everybody's, all the letters from missionaries are all put in there. So you get all the missionary letters in the back. The program for the church is there. But there's always something in there for the rallies. And the rally program, rally needs, rally budget, rally blessings are there. And there's often, if it isn't there, it's the rally leader's fault because he was asked. And there's even, you know, I belong at a place called Totara Springs, and because that's close to our church, they always give Totara Springs a feature. What I'm doing personally, because I have to run the place, and what we're doing as a staff and what's around the corner. Now that's marvellous, because every month the whole assembly is informed about the rally. And then society needs to believe it's worth having. For instance, we always have a waiting list in our rally. We never would let kids just join. A kid can come along for the night, so you come along, but then he has an enrollment form. And I know some of you do this, because I've talked to you. You have an enrollment form, and it goes home with the child, and the parent has to see it, read it, and then the parent is interviewed. The rally leader goes along to the home and says, "Now, your little Johnny came along to rally last week, and we're here to interview, and this is the requirement, and this is the uniform." And when I was doing rally, I now just help in rally in many ways, but we just said, "We would like you to come for a month, no uniform." But then after that, once every month, you get one part of the uniform. So 1 month a shirt, the next month a shorts, the next month a socks, the next month a shoes. We used to wear a beret. Now I don't know whether we wear a beret or not. I do, some don't, and it looks hilarious. When I put my beret on, the kids absolutely collapse and roll all over the floor, you know, like sort of excited sausages. The dad, you're not going to wear that. It looks hilarious. But it's I've had that since I was a kid of 17. It's very, very precious, you know. And got it from the army surplus supply stores. It was better than the rally was. It's a little leather strip around the bottom. Sure, when you're talking about society, it's important that they believe this is going. If you can come and go as you like, well, but if there's an enrollment there, and you know, we got visited by the person, and they have parents nights that we expect to go to, and when they have a church parade, from what I could gather, they seem to be compulsory. See, if you demand a high standard, you'll get it. Now, I know you're thinking, hang on, we're busy enough as it is, Barrow, without visiting potential folk. We'll get to that when we're talking to the rest of the folk that might come tonight, because I believe that's as much the church's job as it is your job. I want to talk about transport. I want to talk about finance. I want to talk about things that the church needs to provide. And I don't see that as necessarily the job of the rally leader. I think the assembly can help in lots of other ways. But just take one instance. The easiest badge that you have, and we're the same, is your rally members badge. That's the first badge you get. And it's relatively easy for a kid to learn. Now, I don't know about your newspapers. I meant to ask Denise, but I forgot. And I'm sorry about that. But I meant to ask in all the rushing and dashing about. But in our newspaper, we can put things like that in quite easily. And our is called Matter Matter Every Boys Every Girls Rally. Beginning of the year, we advertise all our rallies jointly. So there's a big ad in the paper, and all the rallies and the outpost rallies are all put into that. So that's one thing that's done. That goes in for 2 weeks. Costs about maybe $50, but it's not bad. The church pays for it. It doesn't come out of rally funds because they're getting the blessing. And all the rallies around us are all part of that main ad. So that goes in. That's a public... Okay, that's a paid-for thing. Public value, 10%. Not much. Anything you pay to put in the paper has a very small value unless you make it very, very big. I mean, I can never understand, for instance, why when churches advertise their churches, they put them in the church column. I mean, can you imagine a heathen guy looking down the church column? I mean, if you're advertising a special church activity, you put it in the amusement section somewhere in the middle of where all the pictures are, on the amusement page. You don't slap it in the church. I never understand why churches do that, but they do for some reason or other. When I ring it, so that goes in the church. No, it doesn't go in the church column. But Mr. Barrow, this is a church activity. I know it is. But it ain't religious. Will you please put it, you know, in the amusement section? But Mr. Will you do that? But we have a special church column, Mr. Barrow. And, you know, it's a cheaper rate. Put it in the amusement section. I want people to read it. I want the heathen to read it. I want people to go to church to read it. I want the pagans to read it. You know, you don't find these people going down the church column. That's where we put it. But you don't get much from that. But the news things you do. So in your rally, Pennant Hills rally, you've been going, and last week, four kids earned their rally members badge. That's news. And most newspapers will put that in. And it would be Pennant Hills, Every Girls Rally, Mary Brown, so-and-so, earned their rally members badge. Now, that goes in free. And then maybe the next month, you've got your artist badge or your cooking badge or whatever badge you've got, and you just ring up the newspaper. That's gone in. And our newspaper will certainly print that kind of thing if it's news. Now, there's a limit to how much they'll shove in, but we're a local paper in Auckland. Each sort of suburb has its own local suburban paper. I don't know whether you have that. And they will put that in. The big Auckland Herald couldn't give you tuppence for it. They wouldn't be interested. We've done some tremendous things. And they're not even interested. Even in Rally Aurora that we had there, they were hardly interested. But the local paper, they come out for anything. And I try to get Totra Springs as a camp into our local paper once a month. They come and photograph crippled children's camp and this. And if you're doing something, having a swimming carnival, that's news. You're having a bottle drive, that's news. All this is stuff that you can put in the paper that helps build the image as far as the world is concerned. Now that has something to do with getting leaders, because if it's got a good image, both in the church and outside the church, young men and women want to belong. But sometimes the rally movement has a bad image. I've been going to a place, and I hope they never hear the tape. It'll probably do them good if they did. It happens to be a girls' rally, and that's no reflection on you, dear ladies. But I've been going there now year after year after year after year, and this is the first year in, I think, 18 years I haven't been to their final wind-up night, which in the country is always in June, because that's when the country people change farms, and that's the end of the year is the June month, you see. And I go along, and there's a lady. She is very efficient. She's very busy. She is a bundle of nerves. She runs the whole program. Now, she has got a number of assistant lady leaders, mature people, you know, 60 years of age down to about 40 would be about the youngest. Mature. Not old, but mature. And they sit there in their rally uniforms, and they are immaculate. Do you know, they never move all night. She welcomes everybody. She introduces every activity. She opens in prayer. She runs the game. She talks to the parents. She judges the marching. She does the awards. She does the singing. You know, she plays the piano. Okay, everybody, here we go. And she takes the thing from the piano. She does it all. And here are these jolly women there, and they are her helpers. The only thing they're there to do, I can seem to understand after 18 years I've tried to work on it, is to look beautiful. Now that is one thing they are not going to do. They haven't got that ability. I mean, they're nice people, but they're past the beauty queen stage, they really are. I mean, a nice plant there would be okay. But these, and they look that bored. And when you talk to them, they are so angry. And she says, "Oh, Malcolm, thank goodness another night's over. I don't know how much longer I can keep going." If I was courageous, but you don't take these women on, I mean, she's about that big and that white, and I'd like to look after me at the only face I've got, and I say, "Well, it is a pity, you know," and I just walk away. I'm a coward. If I was a real man, I would tell her that she is being a thick nit. and that she should use these other people, but she doesn't. Now, the point is, over the years, I've seen these people slowly leave her. Until last year, I wasn't there this year, last year, there was just her and her daughter. Everybody else has said, well, you can do it, lady. Because you never delegate, we never get involved, and she can't get anybody to do it. And she's resigned a number of times, but she never will lie down. You know, this was the last year, she says. But she's there again next year. She's been the last year, I think, for the last 14 years. Now, this is very sad that a person does this, and it doesn't attract young people. They don't feel that they want to be involved. All right. We'll come over here, and that's belief in the concept of the value of evangelism. It's showing to people that we really do believe in evangelizing people. Now, there are two words I just want to drop out. We as open brethren, and as I've said so often, even the sisters in the open brethren are brethren, we as open brethren are evangelistic in what we believe. We are often not evangelical. Put it the other way. We're evangelical, but we're not evangelistic. That's what I meant to say. We're evangelical. We have an evangelical philosophy. We believe in preaching the gospel. We're evangelical. But we often are totally unevangelistic. We don't use our evangelism to get people saved. So we're an evangelistic, we're an evangelical body, but we don't actually do it and get people saved. But the rally movement does. And the rally movement does get folks saved. In your evenings, you get kids saved. You've got a built-in follow-up program that follows them up. You have camps. And I know it's frustrating, but it's a joy because, you know, we're all mature enough. You preach your socks out all year, and you've said the same thing, and no one's got saved. You go to a camp, and some visiting guy comes along, and he says the same thing, just as simple. And in every, you know, all 10, 15 kids get the same thing. Why is it? Well, it's just a different voice. And he's just building on all that you've done. You're part of it. The kids get saved. And as I sometimes go around to churches, because I'm not always nice, and I'll say, you know, have you had anybody saved in this church lately? Well, no, Malcolm, can't think that we have for quite a while. I was in a church a while ago, and I said that question to some of the brothers. The guy said, no, it'd be quite a while, I would think, Brother Barrett, quite a while. One guy said, oh, come on, George, he said, be honest. He said, we haven't had anybody saved in this church for 10 years, but the rallies had, but they didn't know that. And the only body that had, or the only organization, or the only arm that had anybody saved in that church were the rally folk. Nobody else had had anyone saved. And it's this belief in an evangelistic evangelism. And we've talked about the uniform. Our facilities need to be good. I'll talk about enthusiasm later on, because I'm running out of time. Good facilities and high standards. Time and again, lots of rallies, and we'll talk about it tonight, are sort of the poor cousin of the assemblies. And I sometimes am sad when I see beautiful assembly buildings that just have the very latest, and I go out into the youth hall, and, you know, they've just thrown it together, and it's so unsuitable for even, you know, Sunday school or a rally program. And our facilities can be so much better. I was at a place a while ago, and they had a trampoline. Now, it was the rally's fault, but they had a couple of springs were broken, and that's dumb. And if they'd have had an accident on that, whether it was the fault of the springs or not, they could have really sued the leader because the equipment was not up to standard. And often our facilities are not as good as they should be. In our Sunday schools, it works the same. The facilities often could be upgraded with very, very little cost. People want to belong. People want to be proud of belonging to something that is good and is working. All right, a personal approach. What I mean by that is that I believe, for me, being a simple soul, that it's the elder who should invite the people to become rally leaders, not the rally leader. I don't think it's the rally leader's job, man or lady, to go along and invite, would you like to become a rally leader in our rally? I believe that the rally leader goes to the elder and says, look, we need a rally leader, and I think that, you know, XYZ would be a good person. And they say, well, I think that's good too. Well, would you, elders, invite that person to become a leader, and I'll take it from there. Then the elders of the church know what's going on. Plus the fact that the person has a far greater sense of responsibility to the elders. But what it's also done, and we'll talk about this tonight, it's brought the elders or the oversight into your rally program, and they have to be involved. But there's another reason. How do you fire a person in the Brethren movement without splitting the church? It's very difficult. So I invite one of these people sitting in the front here in spirit, you see. There's four spirits here. They're probably watching Balmain / Parramatta or something. And so I go to this guy and I say, I'd like you to join a rally. And he comes and he's a total disaster. Absolute disaster. I've really blown it. How do I get rid of him? An awful problem to fire the guy. How do you fire people in the Brethren movement? How do you get rid of a teacher you want to get rid of? A rally leader that's just a jerk. How do you get rid of them without wrecking the show? Very difficult. It isn't. You've asked the elders to appoint this person. You go there and say, look, you guys, you made a real mess. That person is an absolute washout. And you've just got to ask them to leave. I'm sorry, but I can't have them any longer. So if you guys would like to... But Malcolm, I know I did. But I mean, you asked him and you've got to get rid of him. See, there's eight of them and they're big boys. You're just one little rally leader. Already having a certain amount of flack from other angles. Let them take the responsibility. Let them give him another job. Cleaning the windows, painting the roof, doing something. But get him out of my rally because he's not what I thought. And when you think it through, there's a lot more to that than you'd imagine. I've seen some rallies. How do you get rid of a dud? My committee are getting rid of me in another 3 years. All right. Reasonable demands. Time. We have a leader in our rally who is a single guy, 28 years of age, single, doesn't look as if he's going to get married. I don't think he knows that girls exist. He sort of, I think he sees them, but he doesn't notice them. And he's totally devoted to rally. He is a problem. I mean, he's got money and time. He's married to his rallies. He's always tearing off doing something, taking them off to this place or going for a camp out. And these rally leaders are all married people, you know, with kids and wives and other incidentals. And they're trying to keep up with the guy. One, they haven't got the time. They've got to mow the lawn because the wife said so. And they've got to paint the roof because they've got a wife that said so. And they've got kids that have got to go to football and you weren't there last Saturday. Then, and they can't afford it. And we've had to go, hold it, sit. Now listen, you're going to first of all tell us when you're going away next time. And we elders are going to know when you're going away. It's all very well for you, buddy, but these other people are busy people. And they just can't, they're not like you. Get a girlfriend, get married, do something, go to India, get a harem. But don't be like this. We just can't keep up. And you know, it got to the stage where some of the leaders came to us elders, I haven't been elder, believe it or not, and they said, we cannot cope. We can't keep the pace and we can't afford what is demanded. And we've had to grab this guy, you know, cool it some. And he took it hard, but he sees the point. We eventually got him, you know, sort of look at it from our point of view, which is very hard for a single guy, 28, that doesn't know what it is to have family. All right, demand the best and clear standards of responsibility. This is very brief. Positive recognition by the assembly, the involvement of the elders. We'll say a lot more about that tonight. The rally leaders, though, need to cultivate interest. Time and again, I go to the rally and say, oh, Malcolm, it's terrible. Do you know the elders take no interest at all? That's sad. But it may be the leader's fault. They never invite the elders to their rally. In fact, if an elder turned up, what's he want? What's he here for? What's he sniffing around at? And he is made to feel unwelcome. Now, I believe we invite the elders. I mean, in your bunch of elders, you've got one or two that are capable of taking, say, a month's devotions. You give them the book. Tell them that you want it visually illustrated. And really, if they've got time to do it, you're asking them to come in August, and this is, you know, February. They've got time and they will love it. Or come and just do a hobby for a term, photography, artwork, lathe work for boys or whatever ladies have. And get these people involved. I mean, you're not going to have a man elder come and teach knitting, you know. Whoops, dropped a stitch. Will you? But the ladies of these people can. And we'll talk about the ununiform group later on. And also, cultivate the interest of the young people as well. They need to know. I'll mention this tonight. I thought that theatre restaurant thing was absolutely brilliant. But the reverse is often the same. Without exaggeration, I've had lady leaders. Men feel like it, but men don't cry. But I've had lady leaders on sometimes a church parade or a parents' night absolutely crying their eyes. I said, Malcolm, do you know we put so much work into tonight and there is not one assembly person here. Nobody turned up but just our family and my husband and the husbands of the wives. Nobody else in the church came. And they're very hurt. Because I believe, you know, they're not doing it for the assembly, but it's nice when the assembly see something of what they do. Now, I just, you know, full-time workers always carry handkerchiefs and always wiping eyes. And I dry eyes, always very, very sad. But I would like to say, dear, have you sat down and said, is it your fault? Are you communicating? I know you asked them. You said there's going to be a church parade and next Sunday we want you all to come. That doesn't mean anything. Nobody takes any notice of announcements in the church. We've got a little sort of gizmo that switches off and thinks about the roast or something else. We just don't take any notice. When we get out, say, what was that guy talking about? Was it really this week or next week? Oh, I've got something else on anyway. I think I have. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. And that's it. You've got to get them by the scruff of the neck, one at a time. Are you coming? And it takes time. But it's this business of trying to get them involved. All right. The assembly needs to be seen to be supportive, is what I'm talking about here. Also the assembly youth group. And I want to talk later on about a chart that we'll put up. We won't bother with it now. But I believe it goes rally, youth group, assembly. I have said this for many, many years, and I'm absolutely convinced I'm right. I'm not just dogmatic on this, I'm bulldogmatic. That the rally organization was never intended and is not adequate to take a kid off the street, a boy or a girl off the street, and get them into assembly fellowship. They're just the first link in the chain. And I get so disappointed when people not in rallies say, but Malcolm, we've had nothing to show for it. I mean, we've had rally here for 30 years. We've got nothing to show for it. Do you know they've had rallies for 30 years, the average of 30 kids, once a week, nothing to show. That's not the rally leader's fault. They've done their bit. The problem is they didn't have an intermediary organization, which in my terms is the young people's group, forming the link from rally and adult and senior Bible class to bring them to assembly fellowship. And so we have senior rallies and rally leaders running Friday night Bible studies. And I was in a church a while ago where the church meets here and the rally, because they won't, no, put that again, they haven't been given a room, have their Sunday school in the school across the road. Because they've got to get those kids to come, and the Sunday school sort of won't absorb them, put themselves out of it. And so these leaders run, at the same time as Sunday school, their Sunday morning Sunday school across the road. It's just like where that van is, just across the road. I've been there, done that, I've seen it. As I said, it's just a problem that people haven't talked together. But the young people see that doesn't want to know. I mean, Balding Youth Work, goodness me. And I said, lots of young people's leaders, what are you doing for the rally people coming up this year? What are you doing for the girls that are coming up this year? What are you doing? Oh, I don't want to see them. I don't want to know them. Oh, boom. Not those little kids. I don't want to know them. They are not welcome in a lot of Saturday night youth groups. And so they just go to the wall and the rally gets played. So the rally leader has to build again the image that we don't have the leakage that we often have. And I believe it goes rally, youth group there. All right, the last one, and once again, this will be very, very brief. Getting people in, there's the resources I'm thinking about. The senior Bible class, if the senior Bible class leader's any good, he talks to his people about, now this personal approach is important, and I'm just going to take a second. We're always looking for leaders at Totter Springs, and I was at a very large rally program, and the assembly were there in force. It was a good program. And the leader had made the mention, because I asked them if they would, oh, by the way, Malcolm Brown is looking for leaders at Totara Springs for the May holidays. And that was done very nicely. But announcements mean nothing. Nobody listens to announcements. I often say to my wife, she gets that mad. She's often going to throw something. And she'll say, but darling, look at this letter I've got here. Look at it. I told them. I said, darling, you told them, but you didn't communicate. And now she says, look what I... And I said, well, darling, don't you say it. And she says it to me sometimes. You know, I told them not to do that. She says, you didn't communicate. And how often are we told something, but didn't communicate, didn't click, we didn't change our attitudes, we just went on. And the senior young people came, well, at this program, this announcement was made, and afterwards I went around, and I got a hold of a guy and said, hey, what are you doing, May Holidays? Oh, nothing. Oh, why don't you come to Totara Springs? Oh, yeah, I could do. Do you want leaders? And I said, didn't you hear the announcement? Oh, I didn't think that meant me. Well, I got him, and the story is, actually, he came as a leader in May. He stayed as a worker after that, and worked with a year. He went through GLO for a year. He's now back as a running the government supervised operated training scheme on our site. Because I got him by the scruff of the neck and said, what about you? And I think you've got to, you know, what about you? Get the elders to do it eventually, but you often have to begin the work. So let's just zip around these because I'm 10 minutes over time. The senior Bible class leaders got to want to and talk about rally. Don't forget the ununiform core that you've got. Lots of people that often can help in hobbies and that kind of thing. Let's spend time about that if you like. Careful planning. If your planning is good, you don't get a guy to go 300 miles to close in prayer. Make sure it looks good. A yearly program that may be pinned up in the foyer somewhere so that your breakup night is planned, your father's night is planned now before you start the year. It's done. Saves a lot of panic if you plan ahead. But often we just sort of work a month ahead. Well, you don't, but I mean some rallies do. All right, strong leadership. Compassionate and efficient, but strong. You demand the best, you get the best. Learn to delegate, like this lady didn't do. And kids who, if they know that they're given a job and trusted, they'll want to come. The Assembly Youth Coordinator is something I want to talk about this evening to folk. I believe that's a great help. And a soul-winning emphasis. To conclude, success, not survival, is the aim. Now you would say to me, hang on, you can't talk about success. So I put the little word there to keep everybody happy. The Lord Jesus commends us for being faithful, not successful. But it's nice when you succeed at what you're trying to do. If we just settle for the status quo and are just trying to survive, we will eventually disappear. But if we're aiming to do something, to build, to grow, to co-opt folk, then we certainly will. So that's where we'll leave it. Thank you very much for your time.